Welcome to the podcast. This is Osmosis with
This is Jamie McMillan and
me, Callum. You can find Jamie on LinkedIn, linked here.
there's not that much on there. Yeah, thanks for joining today. So we've got a space thing today. Callum, do you want to tell us about
Sure.
article that you found?
So
What did you see?
we've been discoursing in Discord, trying to arrange a paper to look at, and you were like, just pick something, just pick something. You sent me
It's not that hard,
BBC.
surely.
I was at work, so I scrolled like through three or four, picked the one that looked the most interesting, said, let's talk about space. And my understanding is you found the paper. And
I mean, it was a
you,
bit of an adventure to find it, but yeah, I did find a
well,
paper.
I am in awe of your efficiency, to be honest.
Did you find then? So what was the article?
So it was this one which I have open here. Moonlander, Japan's Slim reactivates and get to work. And this is completely honest. I'm not lying when I say this. I read Jupiter's Slim. So I thought, how have they landed on Jupiter? That's made of gas. So, full disclosure, I looked at only the title and I misread it.
That
I'm
doesn't bode
sorry.
well for the paper.
I'm so sorry. But it's okay because there's nothing like
I
a little
mean,
bit of chaos.
all right, disclosure, I also misread it.
What did you
I didn't
misread
read
it as?
it. I didn't misread it as bad, but I was like, what's Japan Slim? What? And then you read the article and it's like, oh, it makes a lot more sense. But
So there you go. That's where we're at with this one.
bad
So
headline. Yeah.
last
So have you heard
week,
of
last week the people had a paper that you've read 100 times, and
Oh yeah.
you knew, and this week it's something we both misread and don't really know much about. So it should be quite a lot
Arthur
of fun.
Sheffield.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So go on, you were saying.
Have you heard of Slim before? Have you heard of JAXA before?
No. No. I misread it, I'm telling you.
So JAXA is the Japanese Space Agency. Naturally, there are all of the nation's space agencies. So almost certainly you've heard of NASA. Hopefully you've heard of ESA, so the European Space Agency. That's a conglomerate of, I don't know how many, quite a few European and non-European countries. And yeah, JAXA, Japanese Space Agency. They're pretty
Right.
good.
So Slim is JAXA's moon landing program.
And it was quite an interesting take on it. So their proposition is that as the complexity of space is really
We're having
large.
some mic issues. I think your automatic activation sensitivity is just a little high. I can't hear you at all now. It's not activated.
Well, yeah, that was really quiet. Automatically, I can just turn that off, right?
Yeah, just you could
There
just
you
have
go.
op just have an open mic maybe, or
Yeah, how about that? Is that fine?
yeah, that's fine.
Is that okay? Did that change anything? What was not being coming
Just like
through?
the starts of the words in your sentences, you were very softly spoken and they were getting lost. I mean, at least they weren't
Yeah.
coming through in my headphones, and if they're not coming through in my headphones, they're probably not being recorded by my OBS.
I believe. All right, chop. So
Continue.
the interesting paradigm that they were looking to change is their proposition is space is only getting more complicated. Space missions, they're really expensive. Scope creep is absolutely a thing when it comes to these types of engineering problems. Like, why? Let's just add function X because that's really easy. But once you've had 200 function X's,
It gets a bit
you've got a
complex,
well
yeah.
complicated system. So scope creep's awful.
So my
And because it's getting more.
my understanding is that they want to do it, they're trying to save money basically to make it viable.
They're trying to save money, but yeah, they're trying to put forward a demonstrator to say, let's make it really cheap, really easy, and really reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a good premise.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And oh, the other good proposition from them is, rather than, so some of the early moon landing missions,
allegedly.
Well, hey, what?
Well,
hang on, we're not going there, are we?
Well, no. So, may I tangent? I did tell you I'd bring this up.
I don't want to say yes.
No, the thing is, so conspiracy theories. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, right?
No, surely I'm not. But you know the subreddit.
The moon landings happened, okay? But, like, whenever I think of the moon landings, I'm just, like, hit with this weird childhood nostalgia because conspiracy theories used to be fun. Now it's all children in cages being murdered and stuff. And it's just like, when did conspiracy theories get so serious? I remember, like, being obsessed with Bigfoot. Did they really go to space? Did they really go on the moon? It's just not as fun anymore.
All right. I get that. Conspiracy theories definitely gone down the drain.
Yeah, for sure. So are we, as we continue, as we continue with this podcast, are we assuming that they did happen? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, got that. All right.
All right. So the moon landing happened.
It's kind of irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Moon landing happened.
Sure, it did.
But regardless, when they were thinking about doing that moon thing, they were limited with where can we land. And so rather than thinking, okay, well, where can we land? It's where do we want to land?
Right.
Which is a nice twist. So if you have a gravitational body, like an asteroid, and you know on that particular face of the asteroid, there's some rich mineral deposit, and you want to land there because you want to go there.
Otherwise, you'll have to walk all the way around the asteroid.
What a pain.
It would be a nightmare.
Got no time for that. Land where you want to land.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Okay.
Which is a good proposition. So, yeah, was unfamiliar with Slim. Unfamiliar with JAXA, but unfamiliar with Slim. But this is I like it. It's a good mission.
Yeah, it sounds good. And I'm gonna flip my window open to the paper now, because I just want to draw your eyes towards one thing in the first paragraph, and I've highlighted it. And I just, because it's weird, right? Because, like, I don't work in the same field you work in, so I'm not surrounded by all this space mumbo jumbo, you know?
Right.
But I just really liked that it said, the project aims to acquire high-precision landing technology on gravitational bodies and technology to reduce size and weight, which will be essential for future lunar and planetary exploration. And, like, really like the sound of that, because planetary exploration, it just makes it a bit real, ooh, doesn't it, when it's written down in front of you?
It's a great step. Like, if you want to do the planets, just go to the moon. Moon base. I'm pro moon base.
Are you pro moon elevator?
Just thinking moon elevator. Yes.
Is that another tangent?
It's not a tangent I'm ready for, but moon elevator. My God.
I don't really understand the concept of a moon elevator. I mean, I understand it in concept, but, like, obviously.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, but, like, the outside is going to be spinning so much faster. It would have to be so very precise. Or so very flexible as to not just snap.
Just flexible. I think you build it into flexibility. Because, okay. We can go down this tangent.
Okay.
Space elevator. So, Earth.
Yeah.
Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good job we're recording this with video, because you're using your hands.
Hang on. No, this doesn't work. Space elevator that takes you to... It can't take you to the moon, but it could take you to just orbit.
Could take you to the moon. Who says it can't take you to the moon?
Because the moon spins around the Earth, doesn't it? Your bit of string's going to be a right old mess.
Yeah, true.
Maybe get
That's
something to
what I was
entangle.
thinking, because it's not in a perfect.
I'm still pro moon elevator. Okay, but okay, you
Just
have
get. Why can't we
orbital.
just skip and get the moon teleporter? Hundreds of years of innovation, Bob's your uncle.
Hop into sci-fi.
That's what
Yeah,
we got to
pro
do, a
moon
paper on
base.
sci-fi. Sorry, continue.
It'll
I'm
be nice.
digressing.
Planetary exploration. Moon, Mars, let's do it. Jupiter, apparently.
You know, I have a theory about, you know, SpaceX and they want to go to Mars. My theory is that Elon Musk is so desperate to go to Mars just because he wants to go home. I think that's quite a good one.
It's really good. What else have we got? So, did you pick up on the modularity?
Yes, I did. So my understanding of that is that simply means you can add lots of different things to it and you can change it around. And there's lots of that is bunged with instruments, isn't it? Like, I'm going to be honest, once because have we said how we got this paper yet? Like, have we
No,
just said that it's all AI translated? Because it is a little bit scuffed in places, and this was a hard read for you. It was an impossible read for me.
Yeah, so the paper's only available in Japanese, so
I mean, don't get me wrong.
machine translated.
The translator did a good job, but
It did a pretty good job. It wasn't bad.
yeah, it's
But
been
yeah, there are some quirks.
it was a challenge to get through. But yeah, so modularity.
Yeah, so the modularity, so being able to from an end, this is an engineering thing, and you can kind of just bring it back to my Lego. Like, if all of my Lego pieces fit together, I can build the biggest Lego and I can build whatever Lego. But if I've got a Lego and a Duplo and something else, shoving them together just means you need like middly bits. You need lots of middly bits, and all of those middly bits other things that introduce complexity in these
There
types
was
of
another.
system engineered
I'm
tasks.
thinking of another quote I saw that would be nice to bring up. I didn't highlight it, unfortunately, but there was a bit that
What you
said
got?
in the paper about as you increase the number of components, you are
Yes.
essentially increasing the chance of failure of one of those components.
I read it the other way around, but
So
the way that you
how
said it
did
makes
you
more
interpret
sense.
that?
No, what you said makes sense.
Okay.
More components, more chance of failure,
Yeah, that
which
makes
makes
sense to
sense.
me
So
as well.
streamlining should be a good goal.
Yeah.
So when you're doing this type of modular design. So okay, let's step back a little to how satellite construction comes about. So people don't just build satellites just for the sake of a satellite. So your like primary systems in a satellite are you have propulsion, you have power, you have heating, you've got cooling, you've got processing. You've probably got other things like attitude, well, propellant I've got. But those are like your
The main
important
things.
things to my mind that drive your satellite. But the reason people do satellites is to put a payload on there, so something that does a thing. So,
Could be
like
cameras.
a satellite with a camera, or a satellite with a lander, or a satellite with a, I don't know, a Hoover on it. But each of those, all of your different mission payloads and mission requirements will introduce additional complexity. So, a good practice in satellite construction and build is to have as much modularity and commonality in a bus. And your satellite bus is like the it's just your
The
carcass.
core
It's
of
like
it.
it's your core of the satellite. So commonality in your buses is ideal, and it means you can, assuming you've sufficiently it's a tricky compromise between designing something really flexible and not over-engineering it. Like it can be just so complicated because it's trying to talk to HDMI, BNC, and all of the like USB and Ethernet. If it's trying to do all of these different communications because it's so flexible, it then just gets too complicated. So
yeah,
it's a good idea. I like the modularity of bus.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Did you catch the weight comparison between the other satellites? So
I saw the graph. The table, sorry.
Oh, I didn't see the graph.
It's a table. Yeah, it's here. I'm going to zoom in on it a little bit for the video. If my computer will let me, of course. There we go.
I don't know any of these missions. I know Slim, and that's it.
The bottom line is, it's a considerable difference, right? On pretty much every front or every single front? It's every single front. Apart from
what it looks like is Raimi, the satellite, yep, or the fourth column. I'm assuming is some like really lightweight satellite system.
Yeah.
It's probably there for comparison. So they're trying to say it's comparable in this class of satellite, but against this really, really lightweight one that doesn't have the same features and probably limited in design. It's not quite that light.
Against the second one,
that's a good comparison.
It's worlds different.
So these two satellites, a good distinction here is they both have propellants in. So my assumption is Hisake and Reime are landers that would fly down to the surface and stay there.
So I was reading in the paper, it mentions that in a rocket, which is effectively what this sort of lander is, it's like a 70-30 ratio of propellant to everything else.
It's a lot of propellant.
So when you're cutting the weight and still getting that much propellant, I'm assuming less weight is going to give that propellant more go. You're going to get more miles per gallon, for want of a better phrase, a better efficiency, if you will, actually getting it up there.
I can't believe they didn't say their MPG.
Right? Nice, isn't that standard to measure astronomical distances in miles?
But it was a really good comparison between those two satellites. And it was like a third of the dry weight, which is nuts.
Yeah, 130
kilograms
compared to 300. Yeah, it's crazy.
Goodness.
It is crazy.
So in terms of engineering efficiency, cutting that much weight out of a system is just crazy.
Yeah.
So when they were designing the shill? Maybe it's a shill. Recommendation for another podcast, 13 Minutes to the Moon. Good listen. They're discussing the Apollo missions that leading up to 11, I think. But when they're in that lead up, they're trying to lose as much weight as possible. And so by the end, if I recall the discussion correctly, the engineers were like vying for like grams at a time.
Really?
So like a successful week is we've shaved 20 grams off from
I suppose when you're talking about something that's so delicate, those grams could make the biggest difference. And you know, if we're going back to the conversation we had earlier on about components failing, I imagine the shaking as you go up is gonna be, you know, that's gonna make things break. If it's more massive, that shake is gonna have more force, right? It's going to increase those odds.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Another little wrinkle in space design is redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
This one hits home.
Why does this one hit home? Long story.
Yeah, too much of a detail. So if you're... what's the analogy here? I don't quite know the analogy, but you're sending your rocket to space. If some component fails, like a temperature meter, and that drives the entire system, without it, everything goes wrong, doesn't work, you shove another one on there, because it may give yourself that redundancy.
Hmm.
So naturally, that's the the real engineering challenge here that the engineers were working with. So can we reduce as much weight as possible?
Yep.
Can we have it as reliable as possible, but also redundancy? Like, how much do we really need?
So if I'm, when you said, I'm a bit confused, you said if the temperature gauge fails, they just put another one on. But like, they can't do that if it's in space. No.
So before you put it in space, into your design.
So you would have multiple.
You design in. Yeah.
Okay, then I did understand you. It's just a weird concept. It's not a concept I've come across.
Yeah, so you design in additional.
There's almost
sensors,
like I kind of interpret that like a fail safe.
Yeah.
So like, exactly, I'm sending this letter. I'm going to put two stamps on it, just in case one falls off.
Yeah, that's okay. The one.
Makes sense. Good analogy. You're the brains. I'm the analogy.
I was really trying my analogies, but yeah. Anyway,
I'm proud of that analogy. To be fair,
those three challenges, they're tricky to work with. But it seems like they were, asking the difficult questions in terms of what systems do we really need and what to bring that weight down.
Yeah.
Rather than having complete system redundancy.
Yep.
So that was pretty good.
Where are we looking to next?
Well, I started skimming a little bit faster at this point, but one thing that really caught my eye. One thing that really caught my eye was the temperature considerations. So, what do you know about like temperature in space?
Cold.
Yeah.
Chilly. Right. Bit nippy. I wouldn't go out without a coat.
Not a fan. Okay.
Which page am I on? Which page am I looking at? Which paragraph? Point me.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm looking.
Scrolling down. Oh, yep. I recall. So this will be on section 3.4. Just above figure 8.
Mm-hmm. 3.4. I see it. You okay?
Yeah. So they did a good exploration here on thermal efficiency of the system.
I will be honest, this was firmly in my skim read section of the paper, so you're going to have to do some explaining.
It would have been, but, you know, I saw the temperature word and...
You were there.
It caught me. So, basically, thermal management of a spacecraft is a resource-intensive thing. So in this paradigm here, where we're reducing weight, reducing redundancy, and improving efficiency, what can be done to improve the thermal efficiency is, it's just a... good thing to do.
Again, I'm thinking along what is relevant to a layman. Define efficiency for me. Why do we care about efficiency?
All right, so here in this instance, if we consider a spacecraft and there's a component that needs to be maintained at a, let's say, ambient temperature, so I'm thinking like 20-30 degrees, you've already said we're really cold, so that means it needs heat from somewhere. And so an inefficient example would be I have a heater from, I don't know, something to maybe like computation, like a motherboard that gives off heat.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lose that heat and throw that out elsewhere. And then we have another component that needs to stay warm. And so we patch a heater next to it.
Right.
And so now we've got energy, which doesn't come from nowhere. So electrical energy often is the case, being used to drive that heat, also being used to drive that...
motherboard.
The cooling and the heat loss. So that's just an inefficient system. I've got two energy systems to
increase the efficiency, if there was a way to harness the thermal energy lost from the motherboard to heat the other component. Right.
It's just logical.
Yeah.
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 So they were... talking about thermally coupling their instruments across the satellite. So, like that, for that example, I have something that gives off heat.
Yep.
I also have like a water tank or like a fuel tank that needs to stay above a certain temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Use those, or couple those two. How familiar are you with heat pipes?
Enlighten me.
All right. So they use heat pipes. I guess a good analogy here would be if you had like a super con I can't use one example with another. It's going to go into superconductivity, but maybe not.
I'm a little bit understanding of that concept,
You
but
could think of a super reach really low, really high thermal conductivity.
okay.
So you could have like a tube, so it's called a heat pipe, but think of like a tube or like a strip of metal
Yeah.
that can connect my two interfaces, my hot thing and my cold thing,
Yeah.
and
It's
just the
very
heat
good at
transfer along there.
transferring the energy. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
really good at that. Heat
I
pipe.
think a better analogy is the thermal paste you would put on your like graphics processor in the computer. It's
That
it
is a good example.
increases the thermal interface for better heat distribution.
Yeah, that's the one.
See,
I
you're the
think you can
brains,
get.
I'm the analogy.
I think you can get heat pipes in computers.
It wouldn't surprise me. You can get everything in computers.
Yeah, high-end computers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
N
so they
not on
use
my
heat pipes.
computer.
Not mine either. So anyway, they had good use of my integration between their systems rather than designing my like propellant system and my like my attitude flight control system and my computational processing independently. Think about them together and design accordingly. So
Okay.
that was a nice touch. But I think at least what crept up to me was is that sounds like a good idea, but I feel like that's slightly counterintuitive to their modularity aspect. So
Yeah.
if they're trying to make things modular, but everything's like tightly coupled, like idea of modularity is system A has no dependence on system B.
Yeah, you can just
But
unplug
now
it.
we've just said, but we've now just said the opposite. System A is dependent on system B for its heating requirement.
Right. But could it be
So.
that maybe the way it's designed is particularly modular and it would be simple to just connect up new heat transfer, or is it really
Maybe,
not that simple?
yeah. I'm sure there is a nuance here that I'm missing, but anyway, it stood
I
out
just
a
imagine
little.
modularity as being like a power tower. I just plug all the plugs into it or unplug all the plugs, you know? Easy.
Yeah.
I see they should hire me. Look,
Let's go work at JAXA. Go do it.
I'm like Steve Jobs. I'm the idea guy. Mate, that's the biggest compliment I've ever given myself, and I feel immediately guilty about saying it. What a guy.
You
What a
just need an
guy.
engineer.
That's why I'm friends with you. You can be
I
my
can work on some
engineer.
things. I do some things. Stuff on some things. What else stood out to you in this paper? Because those are the bits.
Well, I have
So this
some
is the
more
thermal modeling.
highlights,
Yeah, what you got?
but we've kind of spoken about them, to be honest. Like I say, I quickly skimmed the back end of this paper. I really enjoyed this, but this is just because I'm probably a bit more of a noob. There's the figure 16, which is on the second to last paper, which is just the view of the 500 Newton class ceramic thruster. And I thought that was pretty cool.
It's a pretty epic thruster.
It's a very cool
Yep.
thruster.
Do you know how much 500 newtons is
I imagine it's
in thrust?
quite a lot of thrust. What is that in thrust? Tell me. Give me an analogy as to just how big it is.
I don't think it's a lot.
No?
I think it would be the equivalent of the weight from, like, me standing on Earth.
Right,
Well,
this obviously isn't the thruster that's on it.
it's got to be. F
I'm gonna
equals
read.
ma. Let's assume I'm 50 kilograms.
God, I wish I was
10
50 kilograms.
meters. I'm approximating here. 10 meters per second squared. That's 500 newtons.
But how could they ever thrust with it?
Lower gravity, right?
Right. I was thinking of getting off of Earth. So I probably
Don't
should
need
have
to do
read the
that.
paper. No, that makes a lot more sense now.
It's a good looking thruster.
So really, 500 newtons is probably like the perfect force to like click my back. You can step on my back.
Yep.
Be great.
You could just have a be a mech. You could be a bionic.
I would love that.
The
When
Earth
what
Thruster.
we need to do, we can do a paper on bionics as well. I'm down for
I'm
that.
so down for that. I'm so not ready for
No,
that.
no. All right then. So, final thoughts, I guess. If
Final
we've
thoughts.
gone through most of it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
What a great mission.
my final thought is very, very cool, very, very interesting. I really like that we are lucky enough to be alive at a time where this isn't science fiction, you know. I feel very privileged. I'm also a millennial and can't afford anything, living in 2024. But at least these things are happening on our planet, and that makes me very happy. It makes me happy that there is still progress and things are still going. I think it's cool.
Well, yeah, it's really good. But I mean, I feel like you're just sidestepping, you know. This sort of thing was possible in 1969, right?
Well, I mean, allegedly. No, but yeah, but like, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, even since then, because you know,
It's died down.
the perception is less now. It's not as important to like, it's almost so every day people don't think about it, like sending things up to space and you know, it's on the news or whatever. But sort of doing a little bit of a deep dive into some of the more, I mean, it's 2017 this was published, but some of the more cutting edge technologies that are going on, I think it was interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. This was published in 2017, but the landing was only this January? Or this
I'm gonna
December? It was
check the thing.
only
I'm gonna check
it's
the
within the
thing.
last month or two. So yeah, I think this in, as things go for space, this really is cutting edge. This is one of the latest things to land somewhere
I'm trying to
in
find
our
out
solar
the
system.
date that it landed.
I think it
What's it
was
called?
20th of January it
Japan's
came back to life, I
landing.
think.
20th of January. Yeah, you're right. Touchdown on the moon within 55 meters of its target. That's not bad, is it?
That's pretty
That's not
good.
bad. When you're shooting from Earth, it's not bad, is it? 55. That's within tolerance, surely. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So your final thoughts, Dr. McMillan?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, again, unfamiliar with paper, unfamiliar with the mission, but was yeah, impressed on just because I'm loosely aware of how complicated and how challenging it is to do this type of engineering for satellite space missions. Like, yeah, it's obscene. So it's
I love
pretty
that
good.
you consider
It's really good.
yourself loosely aware. That makes me
I'm
like
loosely
negatively aware,
affiliated.
which is why I'm like, oh, it's just a power tower. Plug stuff in, unplug other things, easy peasy. But I do imagine that's what Steve Jobs was like when they were designing the Macintosh. He's like, I just want it
There's
to
just a lot of
work.
nuance in there,
Make
you
it
know?
work. No, it was very good, very good. So, final
It's good.
thoughts done. I guess
Yeah, it's
we
good.
say thank you
All
very
right.
much for listening.
Yeah, it's been great. Enjoying myself. Had a great time with you. I'll
Excellent.
see you
Me
next time.
too. I can't wait.